Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Boy, some of my Facebook friends, they need to pay a little bit closer attention to the news. One of my Facebook friends yesterday posted, World War III has started. Iran has fired missiles at the United States. That was one of my Facebook friends' posts, and I thought for a minute, should I go on that thread underneath that post and explain to her, no, you got it wrong. World War III hasn't started. Iran has not fired missiles at the United States. What happened was Iran fired some missiles into Iraq at spots where we have American soldiers that are staying. That's what happened. And they did that in retaliation for the United States taking out their number three in command, their general, Qasem Soleimani, who is one of the worst human beings. Well, he was one of the worst human beings on planet Earth. He's a terrorist who was responsible not only for hundreds of American deaths, but thousands of deaths of people who are friends of America, and he was planning more. You know, it's interesting when it comes to Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. I hope he's resting in pieces. Should always.
Well, you know, I got the inside scoop. I actually have the audio of right before he got drone strike.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Oh, that's good. Good way to grab that audio, Coleman.
Yeah, I have my sources.
So that's what's happening right now, and Iran by firing those missiles into Iraq, where we have troops and where some of our troops are stationed. It's a big mistake Iran made. You know, if we wanted to, we could wipe out that whole country instantly if we wanted to, but we don't want to do that. I mean, their leaders are horrific human beings. They're horrible people, and they're one of the worst political regimes on planet Earth. I mean, they're right there next to North Korea with how they treat their own people.
Right.
If Iranians, if they act in a manner that their government doesn't like, their government will just kill them.
The thing is, you know, most people are saying, oh, it's about to be a start of World War III, but technically this is just a continuation of the war on terror we've been having ever since 2001, it seems. It's all lumped in together, in my opinion. It's not a start of a new war or a new conflict. It's the same war against terror we've been fighting for almost 20 years now.
Well, and you can go back farther than that. If you talk about Iran, their disdain for America and Americans, go back to the hostage situation. You know, go back to when they held Americans hostage for a long time. Time magazine is getting pummeled by people online because they wrote a quote unquote guide meant to help parents explain that killing, the Soleimani killing, to their kids.
So that's what parents are doing now. They're going to Time magazine to get parenting advice.
Exactly. They were hammered, slammed yesterday over a bizarre article meant to help parents explain the significance of the killing of the Iranian general Soleimani. Quote, if you need help talking with the children in your life about the aftermath of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani's killing, we have it for you. Here's a guide. Time magazine, Time for Kids executive editor Jamie Joyce acknowledged that children who are watching the news are likely to have lots of questions. And this journalist went on to say, quote, trust your instincts. You know your kids best. Use that knowledge to gauge the depth and breadth of your discussion. Sometimes it's best to let a child take the lead and only answer the questions that are asked. Often, brief and simple answers can satisfy a child's curiosity. And then the writer said, who was Soleimani? Soleimani was a top military leader in Iran, a country in the Middle East. So they're trying to say if your children are confused or scared or worried about what's happening when our country took a couple of drones and blew him into hundreds of pieces. Here's Time magazine telling you what to do. Instead of saying, yeah, one of the worst human beings on planet Earth was just taken out. A terrorist was taken out. And that's a good thing, kids.
A couple of things. Why does Time magazine or Time for Kids think that kids are actually interested of what's going on in the news? I never watched the news until I was about 18.
Yeah, I know.
Second, why does Time get the audacity to try to teach parents how to be parents to their kids? She even starts it off, well, you know your child best, but here's some advice.
Well, that's why Time magazine this morning is getting hammered online by many people saying, huh? Hey, Time, let the parents raise their own kids. So that's what's happening. And my Facebook friend was misguided, not nearly as guided as the missiles that took out Iranian General Soleimani. And I always wondered, when people don't know what's going on, it only takes 5 seconds to Google something, and then you could learn about what's going on. Yet, so many of those people don't take the 5 seconds to Google something, and they'll post something ill-advised or completely wrong and misguided on their Facebook page, and they just tell the world that they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and then they take it and run with it as a matter of fact. Yeah.
All right, coming up on the show, the latest on the search for one missing carjacker. It happened in Lakeview yesterday. Towards the end of our show, we'll explain that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And yesterday, towards the end of our show, we started getting news flashes about police firing shots in Lakeview. one of the nice neighborhoods here in New Orleans. And I have friends in Lakeview, and they have kids in school there, and those kids in those schools, in the school that they were at, were locked down. And there was four different schools that were on lockdown yesterday in Lakeview because of shots being fired. And then come to find out, there were some people trying to break into cars and succeeding in breaking into cars. In this particular situation, the shots fired yesterday were at a stolen car because someone had stolen the car and they were driving towards a New Orleans police officer. And the police officer then fired at the car. There were three suspects. Two of them have been captured, and they're still looking for one. That's what was happening. The two that were captured, 17 years old, evidently 17 yesterday at around 9 o'clock in the morning. No, they weren't in school. I believe they were taking a study break. And I think in the stolen car that almost hit the New Orleans cop, I think that car, the thief was taking that to the library. That's what, if you're wondering why they weren't in school yesterday. You know, car break-ins and car burglaries in New Orleans are through the roof. They're up almost 60% in 2019 over the year 2018, and we just started 2020, and boy, they're off to some start when it comes to breaking into and attempting to and stealing cars here in New Orleans. They caught the one 17-year-old pretty early on yesterday morning. They caught a second suspect about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're still looking for the third suspect because there were three of them. But you don't see or hear that in Lakeview very often in the middle of a Tuesday morning. You just don't hear gunshots in Lakeview very often, and again, the reason why the New Orleans police, where one cop opened fire on a car that was being stolen, is because that car was being driven towards that police officer.
Right, and these car thefts have been going on in Lakeview for quite a while now, right? And they've been succeeding and get away with it. What I find most impressive is, how do they get around the potholes in Lakeview when they steal these cars?
It's a good question, Coleman. You would think Lakeview, not only because it's a nice neighborhood, But you would think Lakeview would be a tough place to steal a car from because the streets, the roads are so bad with potholes, it would make their getaway a lot tougher and a lot slower.
Paya!
Right.
And you don't want to ruin the tires of a car you just stole, because that'll hurt its resale value. You're trying to get away. So the New Orleans Police Department, like I said, they're still looking for one of the three suspects. Good to see no cops were hurt, and then no one was hurt when it came to the gunfire. And that had people asking questions about what's the protocol for the New Orleans Police Department when it comes to firing at a vehicle. You know, the vehicle was just stolen, trying to be stolen.
Well, there is, I guess I can see it both ways. There is a justification of firing. If you're driving a car at a police officer, that car can be considered a deadly weapon at that point because the strike of the car can kill the police officer. Yet, if you do shoot, it depends on where you're shooting at. If you're shooting for the tires or the person, if you do have a successful hit, the car can veer off and you can still die because what happens is the car becomes unpredictable. If you shoot the tire out, it's unpredictable where the car may there. If you shoot the person behind the wheel, once again, if his foot is still on the gas, you probably put yourself in a more dangerous situation.
But what's more unpredictable, Coleman? A cop firing at a car in Lakeview that was just stolen, or where the stolen car in Lakeview is going to end up after trying to get out of Lakeview and then having to deal with all of the potholes and all of the horrible street situations over there. I'll tell you, have you driven through Lakeview lately? They are working on it. They're slowly getting better. But for such a nice neighborhood, they have some of the worst streets, not only in America, but on the planet. Some of those some of the streets over there in Lakeview, you wouldn't even know that we're a first world country here with those with some of the third world streets. So hopefully they'll catch that third. I was going to say scholar, but the third young person. And again, the car burglaries and car break-ins in New Orleans are through the roof. The statistics they're so high, and the frustrating part is New Orleans police superintendent. He said yesterday that, you know, when they caught the one 17-year-old and they catch some of these kids, and then they caught the second one later in the afternoon, they have long rap sheets. I mean, for 17-year-olds, these are repeat offenders. They had a press conference yesterday, and somebody not with the New Orleans media screamed out, "Should shoot them all!"
Oh, no.
And that ended the press conference yesterday. As soon as that happened, they said, okay, we're going to go try to find this guy, and the third one, and onward and upwards. Again, these are children, and I worry about their studies when they're out running around stealing cars on a Tuesday. Coming up on the show, they're having the greatest Jeopardy game in the history of that television show with the three biggest winners. It's in prime time. So it started at 7 o'clock on ABC last night. Did you watch any of that? It was pretty wild. And tonight is going to be the second and final Jeopardy. They're playing two games a night. And so they played two last night. They got two tonight. And it's making some news. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only. Classic rock. According to intelligence reports, Iran is expanding its cyber warfare capabilities. In fact, they're now threatening to wipe Israel off of Google Maps. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Boy, they made a huge mistake when they fired some missiles yesterday into Iraq, where our American troops are. And we're responding to that. So, but that's a huge mistake that Iran made. Hey, coming up on the show, tonight in prime time, well, actually it's at 7 o'clock. Is prime time 7 or 8 o'clock? I always thought
7 o'clock.
It is 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock central.
Cause I was a little bit confused. Jeopardy has the three greatest Jeopardy players in the history of that television show playing against each other. Last night was part one. Tonight's part two. It's 7 o'clock at ABC. Did you watch any of that? I don't know if one question was missed by all of them. I mean, I think each of them might have missed a couple, but I don't think there was one question or answer that somebody didn't get. That's how brilliant these guys are. And we'll explain more coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So last night and tonight at 7 o'clock on ABC, it's Jeopardy history, if you like the television show Jeopardy. They have the three greatest Jeopardy players in the history of the game. And that would be Ken Jennings, James Holzhauer, who we just saw this past year, and Brad Rutter. Those three guys have won the most money, and they are by far the three greatest Jeopardy players in the history of the game. And so they have what they're doing is a two-night primetime battle between those three. Did you watch any of that last night? And tonight is part two. They played two games. And I don't really want to spoil it. I mean, but if you didn't watch it last night and tonight's part two.
Well, here's what we do. Spoiler alert.
Well,
if you hadn't watched it last night.
Yeah, and if you're planning on watching it, although I will say this, Las Vegas, you can legally bet on this. They have odds on who they think is going to win, and it's very interesting. As a matter of fact, they interviewed Ken Jennings, and Ken Jennings was convinced Brad Rutter was going to win. Ken Jennings thought that Brad Rutter is the best Jeopardy player that he ever saw. Now, when you're looking at the odds in Las Vegas for people who want to legally bet on this, they have different odds for each of the players. James Holzhauer is the youngest, and they're saying that may help him because he may have, because of his age, he may have the quickest reflexes to push the button.
Okay.
Because when they put the answer up there, and I guess there's an art. They were all talking about there's an art to pushing the button, so you're going to be the one who lights up, and you'll get the first opportunity to answer the question, or because they put the answer up there to question the answer.
So does that mean it's not pre-recorded? Can you legally bet on something that's already pre-recorded and that airs, or since it's prime time, are they going live?
Well, I don't know how exactly that works, Coleman, but I know before last night you could have legally walked in to a casino in Las Vegas and bet. They had odds. The odds-on favorite, they had whoever had the best odds and the worst odds. And anyways, last night was a great show. Alex Trebek, and tonight is the final. So they played two games last night. They're going to play two games tonight. And then whoever does the best, they add all four scores together. And I'll tell you, at the halfway point, it's really close between Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer. The guy Brad Rutter, I don't want to spoil it, but if you're planning on watching it, give us 20 seconds here. Go do something and then turn us back on. But last night, Brad Rutter was a distant third. Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer battled it out, and they finished within 200. They're not calling it dollars. They're calling it points because the winner gets $1 million. But after last night, at the halfway point, Ken Jennings is up by $200 or points, however you want to say it. I think they finished. Ken Jennings finished with something like $65,400, wow. And James Holzhauer finished with $65,200. It was really close. And then Brad Rutter only had $10,000. After last night. But anything can happen still. And tonight they're going to play two more games. But Alex Trebek surprised a bunch of people. Some are saying he swore last night when he gave one of the clues.
Hey, babe, I made you a bitchin' mixtape.
He said bitchin'. Here's the whole thing.
Hey, babe, I made you a bitchin' mixtape to play on this Sony item that dominated the 80s and began in the U.S. as the Soundabout. Ken.
What's a Walkman?
Yep.
I think Ken Jennings got that one.
It says here, Jeopardy's been on since 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time he ever swore on television? Can't be, right?
Well, Jeopardy, they try not to swear. And, you know, the FCC rules when it comes to swearing, just like here on the radio, on this show.
Well, that was in the form of an answer, though. So if you have a stage play like the Damn Yankees came up, he wouldn't say this play or whatever, Damn Yankees. That would count as swearing. Or the Gates of Hell, like biblical references. I'm quite sure he said some swear words before.
Well, I guess technically damn and bitchin' are swears, but they're not swears like, you know, bleep and bleep and bleep and bleep.
Yeah. I think this is more urban swears. That's why he called the shock. Hey, babe, a bitchin' mixtape. He tried to throw some swag in there.
Some are saying that Brad Rutter, one of these three guys, is going to be the person who replaces Alex Trebek as the next host of Jeopardy. Some are saying that. And that kind of bummed me out last night because that's my dream job. I always thought, boy, you know, they ask people, hey, what's your dream job? I mean, look, I have my dream job right now is doing the morning show here in New Orleans on Bayou 95.7. But there'd be a little more money involved if I was the host of Jeopardy, if I replaced Alex Trebek. But they're saying Brad Rutter may be the guy that has that gig next, because Alex Trebek, he's battling pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
And he's doing okay. You could tell he's a little bit weak. And you heard with some of his slang last night that we just played for you, he might not sound as Alex Trebek-y as he did, oh, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 35 years ago, 40 years ago.
You have that skill set to do Jeopardy. I think the most I can do is probably hit the button that lights the letters up in Wheel of Fortune. I can walk up and down a little Wheel of Fortune panel and hit some of the buttons when you say N.
Mm. Well, anyways, if you like watching something that's pretty cool, tonight is part two and the final part of the two-night, four-game battle between the three greatest Jeopardy players who've ever played. And even though I noticed there were a couple of guys got wrong answers, but then the next guy cleaned it up. I don't think there was one question or answer that went unsolved. These guys, they're brilliant. And I got to admit, I'm a James Holzhauer fan, probably because he's the latest one who was great. You know, we talked about him. It was last season, where James Holzhauer was going crazy.
Yeah.
He's a professional gambler from Las Vegas. And then everybody remembers Ken Jennings. But then Brad Rutter, he also, if you throw in all the times he came back for special Jeopardy shows, I think he technically won the most money out of all of them. But we all remember Ken Jennings and that streak he went on. And then, of course, James Holzhauer last year. Good television. And I always like watching Jeopardy, especially the older you get. It kind of keeps you sharp. and that's happening tonight. Again, at 7 o'clock on ABC. So that's what they're, if you're looking for something to watch. Coming up, we'll tell you about something else that's going to be interesting to watch tonight. Saints quarterback Drew Brees, he's going undercover. He looks like an old rock star with long hair, a beard, and he's going on another TV show to go investigate, look into one of his other businesses. We'll explain. No, he's not going in the Saints locker room. Looking like a rock star. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Hey, babe.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. So have you seen the movie The Joker yet? Good movie. And one of the scenes in that movie is a scene of the actor who played the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix, dancing down stairs, and the stairs are outside. Well, those stairs are in the Bronx, New York. And that's where they filmed that scene. And there's actually some pretty cool videos up on YouTube of people who live in that neighborhood and who were in their homes while they were filming that. And they took out their cell phones and they recorded them filming that scene of the Joker dancing down those steps. Well, those steps now have become a tourist attraction. And lots of people who watch the movie and enjoy the movie, they go over to that part of the Bronx, New York, and they go check out those steps, and they take pictures of themselves on the steps, and they dance down the steps.
Yeah, they dance down the steps similar to how everybody tries to recreate that Beatles album cover where they're walking down that crosswalk. They do the same thing similar with this Joker steps.
Good analogy, Coleman. So the Batman fans and the movie The Joker fans, they look at those steps, that stairwell in the Bronx, New York, much like music fans, rock fans, Beatles fans, look at that crosswalk over there on Abbey Road in North London, England. Well, so many fans of that movie are showing up, hanging out around those steps. Now the neighbors are starting to get upset. They're like, look, this was a fairly quiet part of the Bronx. before, and now all of a sudden we have so many tourists and people and movie fans coming here. There's a Burger King right there, right near there. And so what that Burger King just did recently, they gave residents of that area free Whoppers for dealing, for having to deal with all of the with all of the tourists that are coming by. And I think it's the real Whoppers too. I don't think it's the Impossible Meatless Whoppers. You know, the Impossible Whoppers. So Burger King, you know, that's a good way to get in good with your neighbors if you're Burger King. You know, free food, free Whoppers.
Hell yeah.
For people who live there. I think that's pretty cool. So that's what Burger King is doing now. I don't know how long they're going to do it or
probably until the whole Joker phase wears off.
Well, wait a minute though. I mean, that's a famous movie. The Abbey Road, the crosswalk there in North London, England, that album was made more than 50 years ago, and people still on a daily basis. You know, I've been over there. And it's so funny. You see people, Japanese guys, there's always four of them, you know, and they always, you know, it's a bunch of Middle Eastern people walking across that. And well, now people are doing the same thing with that stairwell in the Bronx. And I've always thought that was pretty cool to, if you're a fan of a movie or a fan of a band like the Beatles, to go to the places where actual things were recorded and pictures were taken. I think that's pretty cool.
Which one would you like to see in person that you haven't seen yet?
Which one?
Like a famous scene, a scenario that was in a movie that you can go to and visit in reality. Mine's is the Ghostbusters firehouse.
That's still there.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one I would like to see in person. I've never got a chance to see it.
Mine would probably be Don Corleone's house. And that's a real house. And it still looks exactly the same way if you're a fan of the movie The Godfather.
Right.
It's on Staten Island in New York, and it's on a dead-end street, I believe. But they've kept it the same way. The only thing they've done, they've put a pool in the backyard where the flowers used to be, where he actually dropped dead and had a heart attack.
Now, in the 90s, the one people were most disappointed was the exterior of the Cheers bar. They thought the interior of the bar looked like the actual Cheers studio inside set.
Yeah, I've been there. I lived and worked in Boston for many years. The outside is exactly the same. You walk down the stairs, but when you open the door, it looks totally different inside. You're right there. Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why today doesn't suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's time for us now to look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 8th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1815. The Battle of New Orleans was fought 2 weeks after the War of 1812 officially ended. United States General Andrew Jackson achieves the greatest American victory of the war in the Battle of New Orleans. Even though it was in Chalmette next door, I think the Battle of New Orleans had a better ring to it than the Battle of Chalmette.
More branding. The PR people did a great job with that one.
Yeah, and a very historic war, obviously, and a very historic battle. And as I mentioned, the actual fighting took place in Chalmette, where it was a lot cheaper to rent a battlefield.
Has Chalmette ever recovered from the damage?
You ever go over there?
No.
Pretty, very historic. It's pretty cool. I'll tell you, the real estate is a bit cheaper over there. I'm in the process of moving right now, and I've been looking around because the building I've lived in for the last 3 years, they decided to go all vacation rental. They went all Airbnb, and they kicked us all out. And so I'll tell you, the real estate in property values and apartment rentals in nice places to live here in New Orleans, gone up. Gone up a lot, actually. So it was January 8th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1978. Harvey Milk becomes the first openly gay person elected to public office. It was out in San Francisco, California. He took his place on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors today in 1978. And I think we've come a long way where I think you know, there was a time when an openly gay person would never even think about running for a public office.
Now we have an openly gay person running for president, Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. The former mayor of South Bend,
now,
Indiana.
Who played Milk in that movie?
Sean Penn.
Now, he said he contributed with the capture of the Colombian drug lord. What was that guy name? We was looking for him.
Chapo.
Chapo, yeah. He was digging through the tunnels. And Sean Penn somehow got an interview with this guy.
That's
and
right.
And then he snatched him up. So Sean Penn is probably an American hero in his mind.
Well, he's a really good actor, but I would not call him an American hero. You know, it's interesting, Coleman, how you brought up El Chapo. Because El Chapo was captured today, a few years ago, by Mexican authorities. El Chapo, one of the, if not the biggest drug lord in the world, was captured today in 2016.
Well, how about that?
By American authorities. He has since gone on trial and been convicted here in the United States of America.
Now, remember when they did capture him, whether Mexican or Colombian authorities captured him, he was still able to go to baseball games and go out and get stuff to eat every now and then, as long as he promised to come back. Sort of like that Tulane and Broad Point, too, where you can go out and enjoy Mardi Gras as long as you come back at a decent time.
Well, those days are over for El Chapo because he's in an American prison, maximum security for the rest of his life. And, you know, our authorities still follow his young, very attractive wife around. They're convinced she's got lots of his millions and millions and millions of dollars. And January 8th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 2001. A woman who believed that Guns N' Roses singer Axl Rose communicated with her via telepathy, was arrested for stalking Axl Rose for the second time.
You idiot!
Coleman, I know you complain about your love life sometimes. You wouldn't mind if a crazy woman stalked you as long as she was fairly attractive,
yep.
Right?
I need some more stalkers in my life. I like the attention.
Police arrested Karen Jane McNeil for stalking the Guns N' Roses singer. And finally, January 8th.
Why today doesn't suck.
Oh, this was sad. It was today in 1991. Steve Clark, the guitar player, one of the guitar players from the band Def Leppard, was found dead in his home in London, England, by his girlfriend, yeah. And they recovered from that. You know, Steve Clark, they said he just, I guess as Def Leppard got bigger and bigger and bigger, he was having a tough time handling it and dealing with everything. And
some people can't handle the pressures of fame and fortune.
Well, and that happened today in 1991, and here we sit in the year 2020, Def Leppard going on tour in 2020, the stadium tour with Motley Crue and Poison and Joan Jett, not coming to New Orleans, though it is coming to Houston. It'd be nice to see. I know they're adding more dates to that show to go relive the 80s. It'd be nice to see a Superdome gig pop up on that itinerary. And that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Speaking of crazy women, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about a woman who got herself arrested because of rough sex. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We mentioned how last night and tonight on television on ABC at 7 o'clock, it's the greatest Jeopardy match ever. The three best Jeopardy contestants in the history of that show are playing. And again, they played two games last night. It's an hour-long show. It's on ABC at 7 o'clock. And it's Ken Jennings, James Holzhauer, and Brad Rutter. They're the three greatest champions in the history of the television show Jeopardy. Those three guys have won the most games and the most money. And boy, last night was really good. And tonight's going to be the finale. There's something else on television tonight, though. If you're a New Orleans Saints fan and you're interested, Drew Brees is going undercover on the television show Undercover Boss. And perhaps you've seen some of the pictures of him undercover going around social media. He looks like one of the guys in any rock band that you hear here on Bayou 95.7.
He looks like one of those Geico cavemen. Remember those caveman commercials?
Yeah, Coleman. He does look like one of the Geico cavemen. He's got long hair and a beard. And evidently tonight he's one of the owners of Walk-Ons. That's just one of his business endeavors outside of football. But he's one of the owners of Walk-On's restaurant. And I think they go into the one in Baton Rouge. They don't go into the one here on Poitier Street.
How awesome would that be?
But I think they go into the one in Baton Rouge, and he's going to go check out some of his employees. Now, look, obviously, that's just an investment for Drew Brees. I don't think Drew Brees knows about the day-to-day operations, let's say, of the kitchen workers at Walk-On's.
He's about to find out.
Yeah, he's going to. And that's going to be on tonight. Actually, I believe, check what I just said. I was told that he was going to go in the one in Baton Rouge, but from what I'm just seeing now, I think it is the one on Poitier Street that he goes into tonight. You know, their food's pretty good.
We've been there together once, remember last year?
Well, yeah, and then right above there is Vintage Rock Club. Yeah. And by the way, we are having a LSU Clemson National Championship game pregame bash at Vintage Rock Club, which is above Walk-Ons on Poitier Street. And tonight, tonight the undercover boss is going to be Drew Brees in disguise at the Walk-Ons on Poitier Street. He does go into the kitchen, from what I understand, and he looks at the dishes and the glasses that some of the dishwashers are washing.
But check it out. Let's put it all together. Next week, Monday, we'll be at the Vintage Rock Club right above his Walk-Ons.
That's right.
Right? His birthday is next Wednesday. So, Drew Brees, if you want to celebrate your birthday early, just come to the Vintage Rock Club right above your Walk-Ons and come hang out with us for the Clemson LSU home tailgate game.
Yeah, it's funny. Yesterday, because Drew Brees is a free agent, all three New Orleans Saints quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill, although Taysom Hill is so much more than a quarterback, they're all free agents. And someone yesterday at a press conference at the Saints facility asked Coach Sean Payton Are you going to sign Drew Brees? We were talking about that yesterday on the show. It's a big decision coming up. And, you know, Sean Payton said, look, I just talked to Drew Brees and had nothing to do with his contract. I just talked to him on the phone. He was talking about trying to get some LSU Clemson tickets for the game, the national championship game at the Superdome on Monday night. But anyways, Drew Brees will be on television tonight looking like a disheveled rock star on Undercover Boss. And he does go into the one here on Poydras Street, the walk-ons, and he goes into the kitchen and he's trying to find out about some of his employees, how good of workers they are and how good of employees they are. So that'll be on tonight as well. So there's stuff to watch on the telly tonight. Coming up next on the show, we're going to tell you about the woman who got herself arrested because her man called the cops. The sex she was doing was too rough. And wait till you hear about this. And wait till you, she's attractive too. We're getting her mugshot up there on our website right now as we speak. That story coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Rough sex beyond the scope of normal activity lands woman in handcuffs. And I think handcuffs were part of the problem in the beginning. The rough sex, and she ended up getting arrested. This was some story. And New Year's Eve, this 24-year-old woman, and she's attractive too.
She's a babe.
She ended up in jail after her boyfriend complained to the cops that the sex got out of hand.
Wuss.
I was gonna say, Coleman, could you imagine calling the cops on your girlfriend because the sex you two were doing got too rough? And
I cannot imagine it in any way, shape, or form.
24-year-old Kristen Paris.
Hey, babe.
Was doing sex, rough sex, with her boyfriend, but her boyfriend said the sex was a little bit too rough that they were, that was going on, and she actually called the cops. He called the cops at 1 a.m. on January 1st.
Happy New Year.
And the victim told cops that his girlfriend, quote, began to bite and scratch him.
I failed to see the problem so far.
And he said that happened slightly before and while they were doing sex. He said the aggressive behavior left bite marks on his arm and back, went far beyond the scope of their normal intimacy. Let me ask you something if you're listening right now. Whether it's your wife or whether it's a girlfriend or whatever the case may be, would you ever, ever call the cops on your partner like that to say she needs to be arrested because the sex is too rough? This is, she's going to be charged with assault and battery and things like that.
It's crazy.
I've got her mugshot on our website, along with the story. Check it out when you have a second. Bayou957.com. And again, how does it get to the point where you have to call the cops on the person that you're making love or doing sex with?
Maybe she wanted to try something new for the new year, 2020, to bring it in, and she never had that conversation with him about what type of stuff she was into. And he wasn't prepared for the oncoming aggression that she brought forth, which I fantasize about. I would love to meet this chick and match her energy.
Yeah, there are guys out there, Coleman, who that's a fantasy for them, having an attractive woman beat the you-know-what out of them while they're in bed.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
Now, when the cops showed up, the quote-unquote victim had scratch marks on his back and all over his body.
Yeah.
Some of the bruises looked like they were there for a little while, and it didn't just happen that night. And the cops asked the quote-unquote victim about those, and he said, well, those other bruises came before Christmas. She punched me several times, but I decided against calling 911 right before Christmas. I'm looking at her mugshot. Not only is she really cute, but she obviously has a few issues. She doesn't, you can never judge a book by its cover or its mugshot.
See, usually in proper proceedings, you agree upon a safe word that you both say. So once again, I think she just failed to have that conversation with this guy and come up with a proper safe word before things got a little bit too physical to the point where he can't handle it. And on the mug, well, she's about, what, 5'2", 5'3"?
I can't really tell by the mugshot. It only has her mug.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Yeah, if I'm one of the cops who show up there, or if I'm the dispatcher who takes the 911 call and the guy calls me up saying, help me, you know, my girlfriend got too rough during sex with me. I mean, the first thing I would say, don't you have a safe word?
Or nice.
Yeah, if I'm one of the cops who show up over there, I'm like, what's the matter with you two? This looked like such a great way to ring in the new year. And the next thing you know, we got to take her out because, you know, if you've watched the television show Cops, if you ever watched that show, you know when someone calls from a home that there's abuse going on, someone has to go. The cops have to take someone.
Right.
They can't just show up and say, oh, you two, come on, settle down. Here, why don't you have another drink? And then why don't you go back and finish what you started? They can't do that. Someone has to leave in handcuffs.
I promise you, whenever she gets out, her DMs are going to be flooded. It's going to be lit. There are going to be a lot of guys in the DM saying, what's up? I'm not like that wuss you were with.
So if she lived in the New Orleans area, Coleman, you would go to her Facebook page after finding out about this story, and you would send her a friend request.
Yeah, for work research.
What are you doing?
Well, we was talking about this yesterday, how these are one of those crimes where it's a double standard. Now, had this been the opposite and it was a guy beating up on a lady during sex without the consensual safe word, you know, that would be abuse. You know, a guy's physically
right.
Bigger and stronger. And it's like, wow, you sexually assaulted and damn near raped this woman. But from the opposite end, it does seem a bit like, dude, why are you complaining? Most men want that. They want a woman that matches the sexual energy and sexual aggression that most men have fostered inside of them.
There are double standards out there, and there are double standards that are okay to be double standards. This is one of them. this is one of them, in my opinion. But the cops in Tennessee, and this happened in central Tennessee, I guess the cops didn't think so, that there shouldn't have been a double standard here. I guess this might be the whole, you know, hashtag Me Too movement, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to take you. Obviously, if the man is getting too rough and beating up on the woman, much like the teachers, yes, the man should go to jail and be beaten. But the woman, really? But in this case, the woman did end up in handcuffs again, going to jail. That's how she started out New Year's. She started out 2020 doing rough sex, and then right after that, she ended up in jail.
Ruined this woman's life. So now every time she tries to go get a job, submits a resume, they do a background check. What's going to happen? Let's say she tries to get a job at walk-ons. What's going to happen?
Right. It's one of the first things that in employee... ERS look at when they get resumes, and they Google you, and mm-hmm. and whether you're looking for an apartment, whether you're looking anywhere, anytime you're trying to get something, a job or anything, and you hand your resume, one of the first places your name then goes is into the Google box, the Google search box, and she's going to have to explain this now for a long time. Although I it depends what job she's trying to get.
Yeah,
that this could end up helping her.
Maybe.
Get the job. You never know. This could be one of the arrests that the employer looks at and says, no, this isn't a problem at all.
Yep. She could do like the Instagram model and say, hey, if you want to get beaten and punished, DM me, and for $10, I'll come over and just beat you up.
So check out the story and her attractive mugshot. But the woman who was arrested New Year's Eve for rough sex. Her boyfriend couldn't handle it and called the cops on her. Go check out that story and mugshot when you get a chance on our website, Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So I had mentioned how on social media, some of my Facebook friends are a little bit confused about what's happening with the situation with the United States and the nation of Iran. I noticed one post yesterday that said, from one of my Facebook friends, the post said, World War III has started. Iran has sent missiles towards the United States. And I thought to myself for a second, should I just go and correct her? Should I just say, no, World War III hasn't started. No, Iran has not sent missiles towards the United States. I don't have time. I don't have time to explain. It's incredible to me to what some people will do and post on Facebook showing their complete ignorance to what's happening in life. It would take her literally less time to Google what just happened than it did for her to go on and post, World War III has started. Oh my God, Iran has fired missiles at the United States.
Well, what I notice is with people that don't follow the news as closely as we do and people that don't work in the media, they pretty much get their news from Facebook posts. They don't watch the news regularly. They don't keep up with what's going on. So they get their information based on what people post as comments on Facebook pages, and they take it and run with it, with the corrections or not, and they believe it's a good source.
That's pretty sad. No, what happened was, a few days ago, the United States took out the number three man in charge in Iran. The man is one of the worst terrorists in the world. He was over in Iraq planning to kill more people and Americans.
Right.
So our country took him out with a couple of missiles at the Baghdad airport.
Right, a precision drone strike.
And I believe right now he's resting in pieces. And so in retaliation to that, and by the way, the man is evil. Most people in Iran are happy that he's dead. The younger people in Iran, the majority of the country, they love America. They love our music, our movies. They don't love their government. The government in Iran, the hierarchy in Iran, is one of the worst governments on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They kill their own people if their own people disagree with them. And their own people, the majority of them, would wish all of their leaders were dead. That's what cracks me out about Rose McGowan, the American actress that apologized to the Iranian people for killing this evil SOB. This guy is as bad a person as there is on the planet.
Yep. What happened was earlier when iPhones came out, some of the Iranians around the millennial age got a hold of social media and they saw what the other options were around the world. They saw how they can live in other countries and they compared that to their standard of living and they realize now that's the type of life we want for ourselves.
Yeah, so when we killed the Iranian general Soleimani, we're doing them a favor, the people of Iran.
Right, not to get confused with the government
to get confused with the evil regime. So what Iran did to retaliate for us killing him, yesterday they fired a few missiles into Iraq where we have troops that are stationed. That's what happened.
Mm. I think like 10 missiles were launched.
Yeah. So, and by the way, that was a mistake by Iran. And I mean, if we wanted to, we could take them all out. We could take out all of their government if we wanted to. But that's not what we're looking for here. We took out a really, really bad guy. And that's a good thing. And so Iran, they fire on Iraq, where we have some of our troops stationed. That's what happened. So stay tuned to see. And look, we've had issues with this country, and this country's hated us for a very long time. Remember the Iran hostage crisis in the late 70s? I mean, look, they've had issues with us for a long time. Their government, they are as bad a government as we have on the planet. They're right there with North Korea. They're horrible people, and I feel bad for the majority of the Iranian residents who have to live under that brutal regime, that dictatorship.
It's the confliction. See, on one part, I feel we should stay out of, America be isolationist. Why are we involved so heavily in what's going on in the Middle East as well?
You're not the only one, Coleman, who's asking that question. A lot of people think, a lot of Americans think, what are we even doing getting involved in this?
Nobody wants war, and we all want the situation to de-escalate. But at the same time, I understand what would happen if we did remove our presence from that region of the Middle East. Things could get worse for the innocent people in that area. So do we play the world police, or do we just remove ourselves and let things go as they may? And, that's the conflict of it all.
Well, I brought this up because I'm just seeing so many people on Facebook. And so many people on Facebook are also experts on what we should do. They didn't even, they couldn't even tell you this guy's name that we killed last week before we killed him.
Right.
But now they're all experts on what we should do. So
everybody, our politicians are monitoring the situation closely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, social media is something else. It really is. Coming up next, Brad Pitt, the actor, says his personal life is a disaster. I guarantee you, if you're listening and you're a guy right now, you, me, Coleman, and everybody else within earshot of this would trade our personal lives for Brad Pitt's disaster of a personal life. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So Brad Pitt just said when he was doing a podcast, and he just said that his life is a disaster.
Oh.
And I'm willing to bet, I can speak for myself, and Coleman, I bet you'd agree too, that most guys would say, you know what, I'd like to try out your life, Brad Pitt, and to see what your disaster of a personal life is really like.
We can definitely switch places. Actor, got the bang, Angelina Jolie. That's all it takes for me. Just those two.
And by the way, speaking of podcasts, if you only listen on your way to work to our show and you only hear a little bit of the show, you can hear our whole show every morning right after we're done at 10 o'clock. The podcast of our show goes up on our website at bayou957.com. It's really cool. You can listen whenever, wherever, on whatever you want, anytime. Go check that out, because we talk about all kinds of different stuff on our show over the course of a morning. And if you're only able to listen for a little while, there it is for you. And you can listen fast, quick, and easy.
Right. And if you heard something on the show that you like, you can tell your friends, like, this is what I was talking about. You can skip, go back and forth with it. It's pretty cool.
Well, Brad Pitt just the other day was on a podcast, and he was on with Leonardo DiCaprio because those two guys starred in the latest Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is really good.
Oh, have you seen it already?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a real good movie. But Brad Pitt, I don't know, they said he was partially joking, but he kind of said it with a straight face. he said that his personal life is a disaster. Now, he's saying that because, you know, he's been divorced now a couple of times. He's twice divorced. And with his second wife, Angelina Jolie, they have a colony of children. Some they've had together, others they've adopted. I think they've adopted from every continent, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, the Rainbow Coalition, I think they called it.
Yeah. And so he said that, that his personal life is a disaster. Could you imagine being Brad Pitt?
I imagine being Brad Pitt or something of the like almost every day when I wake up. When my alarm goes off, I'm like, why can't I be a Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio and live that life just for one day?
But even if his personal life is a disaster, anywhere he goes, can you imagine Brad Pitt just walking into any bar?
Mm-hmm.
and he could be anywhere in the world, let alone anywhere in the United States. But Brad Pitt, imagine any city that he's in, whether it's Los Angeles, New Orleans, or he could be in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Imagine him walking into any local bar and sitting down and ordering a drink or a beer. I mean, any woman in that establishment. Imagine Brad Pitt, let's say he wants a burger and he goes into McDonald's or Burger King, anywhere in America. Any woman in that place is going to look at him and say, that's Brad Pitt. And chances are most of them are probably going to be having a tough time breathing.
Yeah, and that's from an extroverted point of view. And let's take it, he's an introvert. He has so much money, he can order Grubhub. He could get things delivered to him. He could lock himself up in a mansion if he doesn't even want to be out in public. So either way, whether you want to go out and socialize or whether you want to be a recluse, you're pretty much well off.
When you look like Brad Pitt looks and you have Brad Pitt's money, I don't care about how many ex-wives, children, whatever. Women are going to be like, huh, that's Brad Pitt. He could probably do whatever he wants to do with whoever he wants to do it with.
And that's probably the psychological journey. He's at the point now where there's no challenge for him anymore. There's been times where it's kind of hard to go into a celebrity's mind. You think of the late Robin Williams. He showed no signs of him being depressed until after his incident. And then, like, now we're looking at Antonio Brown in his life, even though he's pretty well off.
The best wide receiver in the NFL the last five or six years.
It's not hard to imagine a celebrity sort of being disappointed with their life, especially after you accomplish all this and it means nothing because you're just a personal, you know, it's a personal issue with you that you can't get over, whether you have all the money and looks and success or not. We don't know what's going on inside of Brad Pitt's heart.
Well, look, all I can speak for is myself and you, Coleman, and many guys. I think we would trade our lives to just see what Brad Pitt's personal life disaster is like.
Tomorrow I would.
Yeah, yesterday. You know, he used to, when he was married to Angelina Jolie, they owned a house in the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. And they were part-time residents of New Orleans. And then he did something real good in the lower Ninth Ward by helping out by building a bunch of houses after Hurricane Katrina, right, even though some of those houses now are falling apart and he's being sued for that. I guess building them as green as he possibly could weren't that great for the houses.
He built like biodegradable houses.
Yeah, and they're degrading at this point. You know, a few years ago, a friend of mine, we were going out to lunch, and he said, hey, you want to see the house where Brad Pitt used to go and smoke pot? And he drove me to this place in Mid-City.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled up in front of the house. He said, you see that house right there? That's the house where Brad Pitt used to, whenever he was in New Orleans, used to hang out, smoke his weed, get his weed.
Smoke weed every day.
Evidently, Brad Pitt used to be a real, real big pot smoker. He said recently that he stopped smoking pot. But
see, that's probably where it all fell apart.
You think he needs to fire it up again? But a friend of mine drove me by the house, and now he wasn't there, Brad Pitt, but he pulled up in front. He said, that's the place where he used to go get his weed and smoke his weed and all kinds of things like that. But I just thought it was interesting how he does this interview, and he said that his personal life is a disaster. He might have been partially joking, but I guarantee most men would trade their lives at least for a day or two, to see what that Brad Pitt personal life disaster is all about. Because you would have to think anywhere that guy goes, I mean anywhere, women look at him and they say, wow, just I would do whatever I could do just to hang out with you, Brad Pitt. And I think most guys would like to see what that'd be all about. All right, coming up on the show, I've got the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Wait till you hear this one. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So Monday night here in New Orleans at the Superdome is the National College Championship football game between LSU and Clemson. You know, both teams are called the Tigers. Both teams call their home stadium Death Valley. We're going to find out who the real Tigers are. And I guess the Superdome will be Death Valley 2.0, hopefully, on Monday night. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on the show. The point spread is 5.5, meaning if you bet on LSU, they have to win by more than at least 6 points or more for you to win the bet. That still could go higher. That point spread, by the way, started out at 3.5 points. And the reason why it has gone up to 5.5 is because the majority of the money is coming in on LSU. So that's what Las Vegas does. They set a point spread, and then they will adjust that point spread based on who the majority of people are betting on.
Okay.
So if more people were betting on Clemson, they would have lowered the point spread. But since the majority of people have been betting on LSU, that point spread has gone up to 5.5 points, and it may go up even higher. And I got to be honest with you, with the way LSU has played this year, that there's no such thing as an easy bet, but 5.5 points, take your money to the bank on that one. LSU, no one can stop Heisman Joe Burrow this year. No one can even slow them down this year. Why will Clemson be any different? I know they've got a stud quarterback too, and that long-haired kid named Lawrence.
All right, see, and that brings up another issue we were talking about before the Heisman Trophy deal, is Joe Burrow playing as a man amongst men, being that he's 23 years old. Is it even fair this whole season, because he's probably playing with kids with zits still in their face, 18, 19-year-old startups?
Yeah, it's fair, Coleman. It's fair because he went to Ohio State and he couldn't come close to getting off the bench there, and he had 2 years of eligibility left. And when Joe Burrow came to Baton Rouge, he already had graduated from Ohio State, and he's taking graduate classes here in Baton Rouge. And I just wondered how much fun would that be to already have graduated college. You got 2 years of eligibility left, and just to go and I'll hang out in this dorm room and I'll play football. Oh, yeah, we're at college, too, right?
Yeah, just sitting in civics class, not paying attention.
But boy, oh, boy, do I like LSU. And I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm knocking on my head right now. 5.5 points, even if it goes to 6.5, I don't want to say there's any such thing as an easy bet. Things could happen.
You're salivating.
That looks like easy money to me. It really does. And if you're going to bet on that, obviously legally, bet on that. Or if you've got a guy on your cell phone named Louie or Rocco, however you handle things. But if you're going to the game, and by the way, the cheapest ticket is just under $1,000 for the nosebleeds, for the cheapest ticket that I saw for Monday night in the Superdome for the national championship game.
How much does it suck that we have to drive all the way to Mississippi to put our money up instead of going right down the street to Harris?
Yeah, they didn't. Our state legislature couldn't get that done this year. They tried. They couldn't get it done to make sports betting legal in Louisiana, which it should be. But if you're going to the game, and even if you're not going to the game, if you're in the New Orleans area on Monday and you're looking for a party, the best pregame party is going to be at Vintage Rock Club.
Yeah!
We're all going to be there. Kat's doing her show from there. Coleman, you and I will be there.
Hell yeah.
Ginty. And we're all going to be hanging out starting at 4 o'clock on Monday at Vintage Rock Club. That's right down the street from the Superdome. It's above walk-ons there. It is the my favorite club in New Orleans because they play rock music. Hardly any other clubs. And when I say clubs, I mean clubs. They have velvet ropes. They have couches. But for the pregame party, it's just going to be an awesome scene.
My favorite part, the women that show up.
Oh. And it's the only club that blares rock music. The stuff like you like Bayou 95.7, you'll love Vintage Rock Club. But the big LSU Clemson pregame party, Monday, starting at 4 o'clock, come hang out with us, say hi. Even if you're not going to the game, it's just going to be a great party to hang out at anyways. And then you could hang around there and watch the game. You could find some other place to watch the game. But the place to be before the national championship game between LSU and Clemson this Monday is going to be Vintage Rock Club. Come hang out with us, say hi, and have a good time starting at 4 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's 8:35, it's time for us to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Customer punched McDonald's worker after she had to wait for bacon. This happened in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Poor 17-year-old in Wisconsin, the McDonald's employee, quit her job there after a customer assaulted her because she felt she had waited too long for her food. In particular, too long for the bacon. That's what she was told by the McDonald's employee before she decided to punch her in the face.
Paya!
Now, the employee's mother is not happy.
I would assume so.
Quote, she grabbed my daughter and punched her in the face, the back of the head, and then slammed her down on the ground. I'm angry, said the victim's mother, Rachel Howell. The customer became angry and then enraged after she waited for about 8 minutes for her food. She claimed, quote, it's taking them too long to cook the bacon, unquote. That's what a witness who was there told police. The 17-year-old, now former McDonald's employee, admitted that she and the woman exchanged some heated words, but she says she never expected to be confronted by the customer. The customer walked behind the counter and then started beating on her. Quote, I was scared because it happened so quickly. Young 17-year-old Serena Howell said.
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty of that. I've been to Wendy's a few times where I almost hopped behind the counter to confront some of the high school employees. I've admitted. I've never had to wait 8 minutes for bacon. But
Coleman, you would never, ever physically assault a fast food worker because they got your order wrong or it was taking them too long to get your order to you.
No, but the part of the store, if there were words exchanged by first of all, I wouldn't hit a woman, but the employees I had my confrontation with were guys, and it seemed like they were playing around with my order. They was making jokes. They thought I couldn't hear them about me complaining how I wanted my sandwich, and at some point when they made my sandwich wrong twice, I got the sense that they were just playing around because of the flippant comments they were making about me, you know. So I took it personally. I said, hey, do you want me to come back there and make the sandwich myself? So I've been enraged enough to hop behind. Now, I never got into a physical altercation.
No, because anybody who gets that upset that they would attack a fast food worker, mm-hmm. whether it's in the restaurant or through the drive-thru window, which we've seen now many times,
you've never had a...
You have to have other issues going on in your life that just set you off.
You've never been verbally assaulted with somebody like a flippant worker telling you to calm down and being flip at the mouth with you as well. I don't think it was the waiting of the bacon that set this woman off. I think it was the flippant mouth of the 17-year-old that set her off.
Well, could be, but... And yes, to answer your question, Coleman, I've worked in radio most of my adult life. I've done a radio show. I've been verbally assaulted many times. But, but look, whether it's road rage with people just losing their minds. I mean, we just saw the story the other day about a guy who got out of his car because two kids threw snowballs at it, and he shot the kids.
Wow. No, I wouldn't get that enraged, no.
Now, there are other things going on in that guy's life and this woman's life who attacked the McDonald's worker. Their life is already not good. There are other things going on in their life, and that incident just happened to be the one that made them snap.
Yeah.
That set them off. And they and this woman said, I'm going to go behind the counter of this McDonald's, and I'm going to go haymaker. There are other issues in her life that are messed up, and that's the reason. Because most people would never act that way.
Yeah.
And then she took off, according to the police report, when the police showed up at this McDonald's.
So she didn't even get the her bacon at the end of the day.
No, and what's interesting is I think she did get her money back because she was complaining that it was taking too long to get her food because the bacon wasn't ready. And I think it was right after they gave her money back, that's when she went nuts. They even gave her money back. And that's when she went behind the counter and started throwing haymakers. But anybody who acts like that, they have serious issues in their life. And that just happened to be something else that made them that made them snap, because most people wouldn't do that. Coleman, you work at a chicken wing place. You deliver chicken wings to people. I mean, have people ever gotten so mad if you've messed up their order that they've attacked you?
Not personally, but it's gotten to the point where verbal exchanges have altercated to the point where we have to de-escalate it. You know, the customer isn't always right all the time, but people take their food very seriously. I mean, they're willing to drive through bars to get Dr. Peppers, and, you know, and they're willing to hop through windows to get Popeye's chicken sandwiches. So.
And evidently this has always been going on, but now we can all see it because everybody's got a video recorder on their cell phone, and now with the internet, now we're all realize what's been going on. I mean, I don't think any of us had an idea that this kind of stuff happened on such a regular basis all over the place, but now we do because of cell phones and the internet. So the McDonald's customer in Wisconsin who jumped behind the counter and punched the 17-year-old McDonald's employee in the mouth because it took too long to get her order that had bacon on it. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Breaking news in the United States-Iran conflict. France has just surrendered. So there's a on social media, there's on Facebook, there's a few pages. LSU fans and Clemson fans are going back and forth. They're smack talking each other about the big national championship game Monday night here in New Orleans. But I think an LSU fan just won the argument, because as you know, Clemson University is in South Carolina, and an LSU fan just posted the video of Miss Teen South Carolina from back in the day. Do you remember the map girl?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Yeah, Clemson, South Carolina. I think the LSU fan who posted that video on the Smack Talk Facebook page between LSU fans and Clemson fans, I think they just won that argument. The map girl. You know, it's funny, all these years later, I think that was 2007?
Somewhere close to that, yeah.
Yeah, it was right around there. And, you know, as we sit here now in 2020, when was the last time you've actually held a map in your hand? I mean, a paper, a map.
Never. Man, it's been a minute. It's been a good minute.
I mean, I've asked the question before, can you find this place on a map? And then, can you find a map? Period. Shows you how times have changed. All right, coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Former movie producer Harvey Weinstein's trial just got going up in New York City. His defense is weak. His only character witness is Matt Lauer. They're going through jury selection now. Could you imagine? You've got to find 12 impartial jurors that really don't know much about or don't have an opinion about Harvey Weinstein. Now, imagine in New York City, the biggest city in America, trying to find 20 people that don't have an opinion of Harvey Weinstein.
Do they have any Amish colonies in New York?
Not that I know of, Coleman. But imagine that. I mean, the Harvey Weinstein story started the entire hashtag MeToo movement. I mean, the women could look at Harvey Weinstein and say, thank you, you disgusting scumbag. Thank you, because of you, things are changing in this country. But imagine, and I think I read they have 20,000 prospective jurors. But imagine getting called to jury duty and they show you a picture of that schlub, Harvey Weinstein, and they're like, do you... not have an opinion about this guy? I mean, you're talking about people in New York City, people who are never afraid to let you know how they feel about anything. They have big mouths up there.
Yeah. And you might have to go to places like Chinatown where they're kind of like separate. They're off to their own little thing. They're not really.
You don't think Harvey Weinstein likes Chinese food? You don't think that guy likes Chinese food? Come on, but...
It's going to be a long jury selection process.
Yeah, so that trial's getting going, and it's going to take them a while to get the jury. But, boy, you talk about a guy who was on top of the world, and that wasn't the only thing he was on top of for many years. He was as big as it got in Hollywood. And I mean, for years, if women said no to him or they tried crossing him, he would just say, I'm so connected, you'll never work in this town again. He'd call the heads of all the other movie studios and say, don't hire her, don't hire her, don't hire her, because she wouldn't do sex with me. I mean, he did that.
Abuse of power.
What a scumbag.
He didn't have Brad Pitt looks, so he had to go about things another way.
So that should be some trial, but it's going to, like I said, it just started a couple of days ago, and it's starting by trying to pick a jury. To find 12 people who really don't have an opinion about that guy. And that's just about going to do it for the show today. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty. Got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning, 5:30, right here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.